Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
My holy mountain, that's the Messianic kingdom. Mountains in prophecy are kingdoms. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So it makes it very clear. It's talking about the Gentiles getting saved, being grafted in, keeping the Sabbath, and holding fast to the covenant. The publishers of this Bible put a note by verse 8 to see John chapter 10, verse 16, about one flock, one shepherd, going one way. Now you said, we'll be keeping the Sabbath forever. That's Isaiah 66, that it was never to be abolished. Isaiah 66, verses 22 to 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Does all flesh include everyone, Jew and Gentile alike? Everyone, Jew and Gentile alike.
Won't be any Gentiles.
But that's not the point. But he is correct. The word Gentile means pagan. When the Lord returns, no more paganism. Okay, back to Revelation. If you guys have questions, ask it, because this is tough stuff. Tough stuff. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No. Ask it.
I'm still a little confused as to when we are taken up into glory, when the, you know, whether it's rapture or catching away, when do we go?
You mean
when does you know? I've heard pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation.
Good question. Let's answer it. Okay. Yeah. Let's look at
Revelation chapter 4.
Yeah, but first.
Oh.
Let's look at four different scriptures. Begin with John 14. Maybe five. John.
Excuse me, Wayne.
Yep. Go ahead.
Would you repeat his question? I couldn't hear it.
His question was, when do we get taken up? Is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, or one of the other shreds? Is the answer in the scripture? The answer is absolutely. John chapter 14. And he's still turning pages, so I'll let him find it.
I'm sorry, this is a new Bible. I'm trying to
work. Understand. A lot of these new Bibles have really thin pages. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you see that word mansions? That's not what the word means. The word means bridal chambers. The Hebrew word is chadar. That's the plural. I was trying to make it easy, but you're right. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Messiah says, I'm going to prepare a place in my Father's house that's called the bridal chamber. And when it's time, I will come and get you. There's nothing new in the New Testament. So there must be an Old Testament prophecy that tells us about that. Where is it? It's Isaiah 26. It's Go back to Isaiah 26. This is important stuff because we may be 2 weeks from the rapture. Ask me in October.
Won't go until October 10th, right?
Sure. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live. How can dead people live? Resurrection. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Isaiah says, I won't live to see it, but when the trumpet blows, I'm going home. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers. That word chamber is the word chadar in Hebrew, C-H-A-D-A-R. That's the mansions that John 14:2 is referring to. So come, my people, enter your chambers. Notice it doesn't say, come, my dead people. This is where everybody understood in the Old Testament that this is the resurrection, but they never thought about, what if you haven't died yet? Paul's the first one to talk about that. So come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. Underlying that word indignation is the Hebrew word za'am, Z-A apostrophe A-M. That is the tribulation period. So the dead are raised, they come into the bridal chambers, then the tribulation unfolds. The word za'am literally means the wrath of God being poured out. And we remain in the bridal chambers until the tribulation period ends. The wrath of God has been poured out. Verse 21 says, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place, that's the bridegroom coming out of the bridal chamber, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. That's the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Okay, so we have that now. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. In Isaiah 26, when the resurrection comes, my people, he says, are to enter into the chambers and remain there while the wrath of God is poured out on the world, the za'am, the tribulation period. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Which tells us what lets us know it's time. It's not that our alarm clocks go off. That's not it. It's not that we get up one day and say, I think I'll go home today. We're waiting on something. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. What's Paul calling us? Ignorant. Concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's a term Paul used for people who have died with faith. They're saved. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Those are the unsaved. They have nothing to look forward to but eternal death. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, how do you believe that? He died and rose again. I know I do. Even so, God will bring with him, that is when he comes in Revelation 19:11, those who sleep in Yeshua. So when he returns as King of Kings, Lord of Lords for the Battle of Armageddon, those who sleep in Messiah will return with him, which means they must have been with him in heaven in order to return with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, that's a teruah, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Isaiah 26, the trumpet blows, there's a shout, come up hither. And the dead in Messiah begin to rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So there's a trumpet blast, a teruah, an awakening trumpet blast that says it's time, and a voice that says, come up hither. But that trump is not just any trumpet. It's not a silver trumpet. It's a ram's horn trumpet. It's got a name. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Also written by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about resurrection and rapture, all of it. starting in verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, you can't go in this body, sorry. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. There's that same word, mystery. It's the Hebrew word sod, S-O-D. In biblical hermeneutics, there are four levels of interpretation. The Peshat, Remez, Darash, and Sod. Peshat is the literal. What do the words say? Remez means hint. Take all the passages on a topic and read them together to gain a better understanding. The Darash is the homiletical. That's where the pastor gets up, reads a verse, and tells you jokes and stories. I never worried about that one much. But the fourth, the Sod, is the deeper level, the mystery level, that there's more to the scriptures than we've understood. So in Isaiah 26, when he says, come my people, Paul says, wait a minute, what if we're not dead? Do only the dead go? No. Or he would have said, come my previously dead people. Just like when Paul, or when Messiah stood outside Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, why didn't he just say, y'all come forth? So Paul is saying, wait a minute, come my people, that's us living or dead. So behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That is, we won't all have a chance to die. We will all be changed because we can't go to heaven in this body of flesh and blood that's subject to death. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There are three trumpets in the Bible that have names. The first trumpet, the last trumpet, and the great trumpet. The first trumpet sounded in Exodus 19 when Israel was betrothed to God. The last trumpet sounds to announce the rapture and the resurrection, which catches the believers up to the marriage chamber for the wedding. Then the great trumpet is mentioned in Matthew 24. It's the one it sounds when Messiah returns for the Battle of Armageddon, the Shofar HaGadol. So verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Happens in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. So now let's go over to Revelation 4. Mike just gives shorter answers than I do.
You talk about the rabbis, Eliyahu, Lamas, Sabachthani, and
Engel,
that you're talking about. Right. I'm kind of mastered that little short.
Yeah. Karen.
Yeah. Could you, what was the middle trumpet?
What was the what?
The middle trumpet. There was three.
The first trumpet blew at Exodus 19 for the betrothal. The last trumpet blows in Revelation chapter 4 to announce the rapture and the resurrection. That's the one in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 also. Then the last trumpet is called the Shofar HaGadol, or the great trumpet. That one's in Matthew chapter 24 when Messiah returns. But in Revelation 4, here is the rapture as revealed to John. Chapters 2 and 3 are the church age. When it ends, the church is taken out of here. That's Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. There's that trumpet call of 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, the last trump. Like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. It's a true, it's an awakening trumpet blast. It blows at what's called today, Rosh Hashanah, this year, September 30th. Is it going to be the one that calls us to heaven? We'll see. Come up here and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. It's a judgment day. Who's being judged? This is the Bema Seat judgment of the believers for their rewards. And notice in verse 4, sitting around the throne, clothed in white robes and crowns of gold. That is, the rewards have been received. In chapter 5, the raptured and resurrected saints are singing. Chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. We looked at this earlier. And they sang a new song, saying. The word saying means it's a quote. It's the various words that are going to be sung in heaven. You, Messiah, are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, which means they haven't been opened yet. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. These people are singing in heaven. This is the raptured and resurrected saints that responded to the trumpet call of Revelation chapter 4. and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then in chapter 6, the first seal is opened. That seal begins the 7-year tribulation period. So where are the raptured and resurrected saints when that first seal is opened and the 7-year tribulation period begins? They are in heaven singing praises to the Lord for having redeemed us by his blood out of every people, tribe, and tongue, and nation. So if we are in heaven singing praises to the Lord when the tribulation period begins, is the rapture pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib?
Pre-trib.
Because the rapture happens before the first seal is opened and Daniel's 70th week begins.
Snatching away must come first.
So Matthew 24,
go ahead.
Yeah, so in Matthew 24, when Christ sends his angels to gather,
yep.
Who is that? Is that the...
Let's go look.
I mean, I know people say, oh, that's tribulation saints.
Oh, I know.
Is it?
Let's go look. Matthew 24. The first thing to keep in mind is, if Messiah had taught about the rapture and resurrection, then Paul could not have called it a mystery. It would already have been revealed. Nothing in Matthew 24 discusses the rapture and resurrection because nobody asked about it. Go to Matthew 24. Verse 3. The disciples respond to a statement that Messiah made in Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39, when he said, your house is left you desolate. The word house in Hebrew is bayit, and it can mean a personal dwelling, a synagogue, or the temple. In this case, they understand he's talking about the temple's going to be destroyed. It says, for I say to you, shall see me no more. To you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, in chapter 24, verse 1, they go over to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples say, Lord, the temple's fine. Every stone's still standing. What do you mean? So in verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, they ask him three questions. What are they? One, tell us when will these things be? What are these things? The destruction of the temple. When will the temple be destroyed? Well, the answer to that was 70 AD or 70 Common Era. Okay. What will be the sign of your coming? That word coming is parousia, and it means the coming of a king, the bringing in of your kingdom. And of the end of the age ends at the start of the Messianic kingdom. So questions 2 and 3 are redundant. When does your kingdom begin on earth? That's what they want to know. They didn't ask about any rapture or resurrection. So he says in verse 4, Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, meaning there'll be lots of false teachings on this topic, and trust me, there are. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Messiah, and will deceive many. That's the first seal of resurrection of Revelation chapter 6, the false Messiah. There have been many false messiahs. He will be the false Messiah. The second seal is the red horse, that's war. You'll hear of wars or rumors of wars. So he's going through the seals, and the seventh seal begins about the midpoint. It's time to flee. So in verse 15, he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, so that means the temple has to be rebuilt because the holy place, HaKodesh, is a room in the temple. And that's where the abomination of desolation is going to go up. It's an idolatrous image of the image in Revelation 13 that will speak and see. It says, whoever reads, let them understand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. That's to Petra. That happens just at the start of the midpoint. Verse 21, then it will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. So this is the last 3.5 years that Messiah is describing. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. This is Revelation 19:11. Messiah is coming. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. That's with the raptured and resurrected saints, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's that third trumpet I mentioned, the great trumpet, the Shofar HaGadol, that announces Messiah's return at the end of the tribulation period. They will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's just telling us the directions. These are the surviving believers on earth being brought into the kingdom. This is not a rapture or a resurrection. When Messiah returns, all the believers will be brought back to the kingdom that he establishes. Where do we read about that in Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 11. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. People read about that being brought from the four winds of the corners of the earth. You're right. Some people teach that is the rapture, and they just don't realize that's 7 years late. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 11 is mostly about the Messianic kingdom, when Messiah returns to rule and reign on this earth. Verse 10 says, and in that day, what day? Day of the Lord. So this is an end times prophecy, that thousand-year kingdom. There shall be a root of Jesse, that's Messiah, we know from verse 1, who shall stand as a banner to the people. That word banner or nasim in Hebrew means a gathering point, like soldiers rally around their troops' banner. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. That's talking about his kingdom. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left, that is, are left alive in this world. They survived the false Messiah. They survived the 7 years of tribulation period. It's time to bring them home to the kingdom. From Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea, those are the four points of the compass that Matthew 24 refers to. He will set up a banner, a nasi, for the nations. So the Gentiles will come also. Those that have been saved and survived the tribulation period will come into the kingdom. And will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. These are not the raptured and resurrected saints. These are those that are alive and remain. We read about it also in Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, starting in verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, that's Jerusalem, prophetic Jerusalem, when Messiah returns, and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, that is, everybody is saved. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, all those who survive the 7 year tribulation period. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, that's the 7 year tribulation period, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering. That word covering is the word chuppah, C-H-U-P-P-A-H. And that is the bridal canopy under which the wedding takes place. And there will be a tabernacle. That word in Hebrew is sukkah. The feast of Sukkot, or tabernacles, teaches about the establishment of the kingdom. There will be a tabernacle, a sukkah, for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and rain. More questions? Yeah, I know. We have to do that. Oh, there's also Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 is all about the tribulation period and the Battle of Armageddon. First, I guess, in Zechariah 13, verses 7 and 8 and 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. That's about the crucifixion of Messiah. He tells us that himself in Matthew and John. And I will turn my hand against the little ones, that is, the children of Israel, be scattered throughout the world for 2,000 years. It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord. Now we're looking at the tribulation period. That 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. So 2/3 are going to die during the 7-year tribulation period. Only 1/3 will survive it. I'll bring the 1/3 through the fire. That's the fire's a picture of judgment, the tribulation period. We'll refine them as silver is refined. Silver is refined by putting it through the fire 7 times. Test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I'll answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. But chapter 14 describes the battle of Armageddon and how it ends the tribulation period. It begins, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is a 1,000-year period from the rapture and resurrection to the new heavens and new earth. How can a day be 1,000 years? Psalm 90, verse 4, 2 Peter 3:8. A day is the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1 day. For I will gather all the nations, verse 2, to battle against Jerusalem. We call that battle Armageddon. All the nations come. The city shall be taken, the house is rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, the remnant of the people shall be cut off in the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. That's Revelation 19:11. Messiah returns. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. That's Ezekiel chapter 43. Mount of Olives will be split in two, etc. But look at the end of verse 5. The very last sentence says, thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. That is when the Lord returns from heaven. At the end of the tribulation period, he brings with him all the raptured and resurrected saints.
One more question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, thanks. It just came to my mind.
Sure.
So, when exactly does the man of sin reveal himself? Does he reveal himself at the beginning?
When does the man of sin reveal himself? The answer is, that's Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. When the first seal is opened, that's when the man of sin is revealed. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Which is right after the rapture and resurrected saints have been singing praises to the Lord for having redeemed us out of every people, tribe, and tongue, and nation. Revelation 6, 1 says, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. That's the first of the 7 seals. Heard one of the 4 living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. This is the false Messiah, the man of sin, the man of perdition. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So that's the very first thing that happens in the 7-year tribulation period, is the false Messiah is revealed, the man of perdition, the man of sin. He is the one in Daniel 9:27. This will also help answer that question. Daniel 9:27. That son of perdition, the man of sin, the false Messiah, whatever you want to call him, the beast of Revelation 13, is the he in Daniel 9:27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 7-year period. That's the 7-year tribulation period. He is the one who confirms that 7-year treaty when he's released in Revelation 6 at the beginning of the 7 years.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.